Chuck and Julie, bringing you the truth, straight up.
I'm Julie Hayden. I'm working
at... An Emmy-winning former investigative reporter, a highly successful trial attorney, and publisher of a major Denver area newspaper. They've been partners as talk show hosts and in marriage, as parents, for over 10 years, providing thought-provoking information, opinion, and entertainment live, local, and interactive. Everyone's voice is always welcome on the Chuck and Julie Show.
This is Chuck Bonnywell and Julie Hayden, the Chuck and Julie Show, True Straight Up.
Brought to you by Mount Must Wellness. Yeah, Mount Must Wellness Advanced Acupuncture and Chinese Medicine. Whoa, boy, a lot to talk about today. Britta Horn's Unity Party in Colorado crashing and burning. Days after she took office, her handpicked treasurer stepped down. Yesterday, her vice chair stepped down, had a scathing letter. And we're going to have...
Read a couple of points.
Well, what I was going to do is, because we've got Hope Shuffleman coming on to talk, number one, about this whole thing, about the fiasco that was Britta's budget meeting last night.
The next guest will be important for that.
Okay, and also on her CDT race. And we're going to bring up Mark Hampton from Parker Conservatives. But Mark, I'm sure you saw, so go ahead and unmute yourself and come on in. So this is a letter from Daryl Phelan, effective immediately. He's resigning in the 72 days, he's been systemically sidelined, deliberately ignored, despite repeated requests to contribute to strategy and policy discussions. My only input has been to facilitate the dismissal of her lawsuit and to endorse the hiring of her affiliates. I can't in good conscience lend my name or reputation to an organization whose leadership refuses a genuine collaboration with the State Central Committee. We've swapped one figure. I mean, the dysfunction, he goes on. And he says, you know, this has been a colossal waste of my time. So much for unity, huh, Mark?
Yeah, so much for that. You know, that was a whole big boom. No kidding. You didn't figure that out before you ran for vice chair with this group?
That's right.
He pulled a Homer Simpson big time.
Yeah.
Well, you know, I was sitting next to Ben Nicholas, and while Phelan was giving his speech for the vice chair and so forth, Ben leans over to me. He thinks he's running for chair. Yeah. And I think he thought he was running. And he didn't realize that the vice chair does nothing unless the chair tells him to do it. And they don't have to tell him.
Well,
yeah, you serve at the pleasure. Yeah, I mean, that's the deal.
Exactly. But it was
pleasure.
It was a full kind of rhino sweep then. But so now what happens is there has to be another election, really, basically within like 40 days. And are you going to be the honey badger candidate?
I think I might be. That's I've been floating it out there. And I've been getting a lot of positive feedback. But, you know, a lot of people, my phone rang off the hook last night trying to watch the train wreck that was last night and field phone calls from everybody. But, yeah, you know, it's one of those things. You serve at the pleasure. I talked to Hope last a day ago just to kind of get her input. But, you know, at the end of the day, you know, they could easily relegate me to the sidelines, and that's fine. But I can report on from what I do get insight information on and let people know. Because after last night's meeting, it is so evident after a $2.5 million budget laden with pork all over the place that that was the Rocky Mountain Voice budget right there. Let's get all of our consultants in. Let's just pay them. Get them all fat and happy. And, you know, we'll give every candidate two nickels so they can rub those together. Because that's all it's going to be left. I don't even know if they can raise the money to pay for the budget.
There's no in the budget.
The nickels in the budget for candidates. That's crazy. Here's the astonishing thing. So last night, for folks who don't know, so it was Britta Horn. First, it was screwed up. It should have been an executive committee meeting, which are kind of, there's a much smaller meeting, but it went out to everybody. So roughly 400 plus people were actually on it, including me, although I got off too early, I think. But so Britta, it'd be like if I told Chuck, I'm proposing a budget. I'm going to pay myself $166,000. I'm going to hire myself an executive assistant for $155,000.
To get the numbers.
A whole bunch of a year. A whole bunch of minions.
No, a year. She's getting 100.
That's what I said.
$100,000 a year.
You're interrupting my. But
Okay.
my
Ben
point
Paul,
is,
excuse me.
that I could come to Chuck and I could give him this budget, and then Chuck would be like, "But where's the revenue portion of the budget?"
Exactly.
I mean, that was my take. And it's right. She's just going to pay all of her friends, her allies. There's going to be, she has $44,000 in the bank and more than, way more than that, and bills outstanding already based on her budget.
Yeah, so none of it made any sense. You know, being in business myself and dealing budgets on an ongoing basis and teaching people that work for me how to do budgets, that was, you know, it was a train wreck. I mean, I'm like texting an individual going, ask this question, because, you know, some of the things that they did, it just doesn't make any sense. And one of the ones I just sat there and laughed is they're going to do a 401k and give 3%. Have they ever checked into what it takes to actually have an administrator do your 401k? I have 600 employees. I won't pay for what they want to do that. It's an ungodly amount of money. So that wasn't factored in. Their forensic audit at $16,000. Give me a break. For 1 year, minimum is $60,000. Minimum. That's just for a single year. So, I mean, they are, you know, on rainbows and unicorns. You know, what was really frustrating on Julia Watch is like two things. Number one, the meeting shouldn't have happened because they didn't have notice out to everybody. And if that would have been Dave Williams chairing that, it would have exploded if they would have moved forward. It would have exploded. So the hypocrisy just in that is unbelievable.
Well, let
But,
me
you
speak
know,
to that small point, because I've been a part of a lot of boards and so forth. And if the notice is inadequate, and it clearly was from people saying I didn't get it, a lot of people were not given the 5 days, and just calling them 3 days ahead is not adequate and so forth. All the board members, if you have all of them, can waive notice if they're all together. But there are 25 members of the board, two have resigned, so there are 23. And the votes are only 21. So you cannot waive it. You cannot waive it when you don't have all the people there, except you now have a parliamentarian who apparently is in the pocket of Britta, because
oh,
he
yeah. That was so evident. Yeah, the vote,
and,
you know,
yeah.
after that one vote, and then the, you know, and Britta said, "Well, what's our next step? You know, where do we go from here?" His answer should have been, "Madam Chairman, you need to accept the vote."
You
That would have
lost.
been the proper answer. And he hemmed and hawed around, and all of a sudden, that's when it kind of blew up, because he didn't give the correct answer right at that moment.
Well, you
And
accept the vote when you say the vote was 11 to 10. You know, that's, you don't have to, I accept. You don't have to accept in that manner. Instead, they kind of go, it's 11 to 10. I don't know what to do. That's accepting the one. You don't get to go,
Exactly.
oh, I know. We'll just keep on voting
Until he comes my way,
until
tell
they
me
go,
who.
until somebody text this person and tell them to change their vote.
Yeah.
What's going on? I mean, what do they think? We're idiots? I
That's
mean,
right.
come
Yes. Well, they
on.
think you
Yes, they
can't.
do.
Hey, listen, so Mark, we've got Hope now, so I want to give
All
her a chance
right,
to
all right.
talk. But hey, Honey Badger candidate,
Yay, Honey
yay.
Badger from EP. From
Hey,
EP.
we eat everything, and
All
nothing scares
right.
us. All
All
right, have a
right,
good
thanks.
show.
All right, thanks, Mark. Thanks. So I want to bring on the forum, and we'll get Hope's take on the whole train wreck fiasco, because Hope knows a thing or two about preparing GOP budgets.
And train wrecks. Train
And
wrecks,
avoiding
yes.
trading. But I want to bring on, because she is stepping up to, because she has had so much fun being involved in Colorado Republican Party politics. Hope, the former vice chair, is now stepping up. She's going to be challenging Rhino Rep Jeff Hurd
Why don't you let her announce
and CD3. All right, well, go ahead and announce it then.
it?
Chuck
I
is.
don't
Hey
know.
guys, can you hear
Hi.
me okay? Yep.
You look
Okay,
good.
fantastic. Sorry, I just like literally flew in. I was actually at another event. So yes, Julie, and Chuck, I announced on Monday that I am running to primary Jeff Hurd, specifically because he is backed by AFP, and I am definitely willing and ready to defeat the AFP Koch machine and represent the 3rd Congressional District here for We the People. You know, and I hope, I am so glad that somebody is stepping up because you're going to have a lot of money fights, and we'll talk about that in a second. But like, it was within days of getting being sworn into Congress, he opposed Trump on the January 6th pardons, right? I mean, it's like, why not just keep your mouth shut? You've only been there like a day or two, right? But that was an AFP push. He's opposing Trump on the tariff issue again because the AFP is pulling his
AFP.
strings. I mean, he's clearly being ordered around by the Americans for Koch prosperity, not a MAGA candidate at all, and not at all what he portrayed he was going to be to the voters. Do you think?
So that's a great question because we all had that thought, right? And I'm going to be honest, I actually posted Adam Frisch's campaign ad on my page specifically because of that, because we never saw Herd. We never saw him in La Plata. He was talking to big donors events, big donor charity events, fundraising, everything like that. He did not have to really pick up a finger or lift a finger when it came to campaigning. He went to one debate, semi-debate. It was there in the SLV, San Luis Valley, there in Alamosa. There was a Lincoln Day dinner. I don't think he realized that there were going to be questions and answers from the actual audience. And it was the district attorney that was actually asking the questions. And one specific question was asked, do you support Trump? Did you vote for Trump? And he pivoted. That was the moment when we all realized he is not a Trump supporter. He is not MAGA. He ran under the conservative banner. His entire website says I'm conservative, but no, he is a true moderate, left-leaning moderate. And I'm going to tell you, the straw that broke the camel's back was when he signed on to a bill. I think it was March, early March, and it's the Gunnison grab, land grab there, 738,000 acres of land, and that he is going to grab with Senator Bennett, Senate Hickenlooper, and that tells you everything. Sean Pahn, who is a county commissioner in Montrose County, has been fighting these land grabs big time here in the 3rd Congressional District. Lauren Boebert fought the land grabs. Love her or hate her, regardless of how people feel about her, she stood up to the feds and said, no, you keep your hands off of our land. And here we are, less than 6 months in, Jeff Herd decides to put in a bill that hasn't left committee yet. I do have to say that first. Put in a bill in Gunnison County to take land from we the people. So no, he didn't support the J6ers. I even confronted him about that, and he specifically said, well, blah, 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 blah. JD Vance agrees with me as well. And I said, no, JD Vance actually agrees with Trump, and he supported all of the pardons. And yep, so no, I'm done. I'm
Look,
ready to represent the people.
and hopefully the people are ready to have you represent them because you're right. Jeff Herd did a rhino switcheroo, I think. What about, let me, because this the question has to be asked about money, right? Jeff Herd has Americans for Prosperity money. Whoever the Democrat candidate is going to be, the Democrats, I think, see this as because he didn't win by all that much, right, Herd?
You won by enough, but yeah.
But I mean, it's so what is your take and your approach to that?
I need people to chip in to my campaign. Go to hopeforcolorado.com and chip in whatever you can. This is going to be a grassroots led. I have been making phone calls myself, even got multiple donations in the first, few days. But look, we need to defeat this. We need $1 million at least. And I know that we can get this. But if we don't start standing up and donating, this is our district. This is our fight. This is not my fight. This is our fight. And so I'm going to need everybody to chip in as much as they can, regardless, $5, $1, whatever it is. This
Half
is
million.
truly grassroots.
Yeah. Well, it is. And that's why they're going to pull out all the stops to fight you, right? I mean, they do not want any pesky, I mean, just ask Ron Hanks, right? Pesky grassroots people pointing out the reality of Rhino Jeff Herd,
Right.
So.
And the also the win, lose, tie, You're going to drag him toward the Trump side because he's going, oh, I got a primary opponent. Uh-oh, I better not make too many ridiculous ones like let's give amnesty to all immigrants, which is what he believes because that's what
Americans were.
prosperity believe. So he's, at worst, at best you win. At worst, you'll have a great effect on causing him to be less rhino-ish than he might otherwise be.
Right. And so let's say this. We don't need any more lawyers at up in Congress. You know, he's slick with how he speaks, knows how to speak to the public. But let's take the LA riots right now, right? So on his website, and what he has stated publicly is he supports immigration only if they commit crimes. Well, let's just say, you know, which one of these people do you start deporting? Look, anybody who comes over our border illegally needs to be deported. And he supports the Dreamers, which also takes away from our own children here in the United States. So, which is it? Are you for immigration and deporting people, or are are you going to be continuously sitting on the fence?
Well,
Because sitting on the fence, go
it's
ahead.
not really sitting on the fence, and quite frankly, Gabe Paul did the same
Gabe
thing.
Evans.
Gabe Evans, rather. Gabe Evans did the same thing, and it's really what the Americans for Prosperity and the pro-illegal immigration people are. They're happy, so 15 million, 20 million cross the border illegally. Of that, maybe 1% have been convicted. Or at least arrested for crimes. That doesn't mean other crimes weren't committed, but that doesn't, you don't pick up all of them. So if they take 15 million, take 1% out, and you've got, 14 plus million, and you make them citizens. He's not sitting on the fence, and neither is Gabe Evans. They are for illegal immigration because they want to stay everyone except people who have been convicted or at least charged with crimes. That is pro amnesty. That is
Right.
pro illegal immigration.
Right. And they're taking away jobs from the American people.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, at this point, you're either for mass deportation or you're not. And we need to continue to hold our representatives accountable. He continued to tout that he was for, deportation. He was for all of closing the border, and he is not. What happened in the LA riots right now? What is going on? What happened in Boulder? What happened here in Colorado? What happened in Washington, D.C.? All of these things, those are people that we need to continue to hold responsible for these actions, because if they are not tough on crime, tough on immigration, holding supporting ICE for what they're doing, they are the problem. They are not representing we the people here in Colorado or the United States.
Let me pivot, Hope, and we'll give you one more chance before we let you go to give your website again. But want to talk about
People can contribute.
so
And,
people can contribute, but.
little money goes a long way for a campaign. There's a huge difference in having little money and no money. So we all, Julie, we got to send a check to
We will help. Yes, we will.
our billions here. The
Yeah,
colonial empire will be
yeah,
flowing into your coffers.
I would appreciate it, you guys.
We want to talk to you then about the events yesterday with the Colorado Republican
Oh,
Party.
the finest SC
The
meeting.
Unity Party, as I said, is crashing and burning. The vice chair resigned, saying that Britta is ignoring him and just sort of using him. First, your take on, and that's just a few weeks after the treasurer resigned.
Yeah,
So I'm
and
like,
other things that is really a tool of other people.
So what I want to talk to you about, what do you make of that? And then what do you make about this budget meeting last night?
Yeah, so yesterday I was away from my phone for a few hours, right? Like I went and did some
Big
personal
mistake. Big
stuff.
mistake.
And I was shopping, and my phone was just going off and off and off, and I'm like, what? Like, is there a crisis at home? Like, what's going on? Look at it, and there's like 10 missed calls. So I call people back, and I'm like, what's going on? Did you see it? Did you see it? You know, Daryl Lee Phelan resigned. And to be honest with you, my first reaction, My heart sunk. And the reason my heart sunk is because I knew exactly why he resigned. He resigned because of Britta Horn. And I didn't have to read his letter. I didn't have to read anything. I did, but I knew that that's why he resigned. So here's the gist of it, you guys. Everybody disliked Dave. There was hate and disdain towards Dave and I and Anna and, all of us,
Dave
regardless.
derangement syndrome.
Right. So now we're out of it. So where is all this? They were united about that, right? Like they hated us that much, obviously, because I even got two death threats. That's how much they hated us.
You didn't
With
get
that
more than that.
stated, now that Dave and all of us are out of the picture, there's no more unity. And so when I came in as vice chair, it was wonderful being the vice chair with Dave Williams because of the fact he gave us autonomy. He gave us our own voices. He called me on that Sunday after I won and he said, "Hey, what do you want to do as vice chair? What would you like to do?" And I said, "X, Y, and Z." And he said, "Bingo, do it. Go do it." And so that's what I did. And so I had my own voice. You can see how things are being led. They touted that they're going to lead from the bottom up. They're leading from the top down. And the interesting thing, it's not the top down. Somebody else is pulling Britta's strings.
Yes.
And we and I noticed that specifically in the SEC meeting last night. Britta couldn't run her own meeting. Dave Williams ran an amazing meeting.
Yeah.
Britta Horn relies on Alec Hannah to run the meeting. She always refers to him. She can't answer a question. And with the budget, they only have $36,000 on hand. She has spent already, mucho, mucho bucks towards her own personal lawyer, which she hired on to as the state lawyer. And then the budget at the very end, where we're finding out the tally is $2.4 million, and they've hired all these people. They are paying for health insurance. They're paying for IRAs.
Yes.
IRAs. That's what I was actually so angry about that. I was angry about everything else, but mostly the IRAs because these are donors' monies that is going to be pocketed for their retirement.
Right. Well, and here's
Well, but and as our as our prior guest
Mark.
pointed out, Mark Hansen pointed out, you have to have an administrator. You have to have somebody look over. You can't just say, okay, just,
Yeah, here we're going to just throw this in an IRA.
Yeah,
Well,
you got to set up IRA accounts. You have to have someone who says, yes, these are dollars that it can be put in and everything else. And that's going to cost, there's small IRAs, but that's kind of the, you don't get the quality of scale or the cost of it. You're going to have enormous costs comparative to how little money will actually go out of the IRA.
even bigger than that, this whole her whole she said this is her vision, right? Her vision apparently is to funnel money to all of her friends and allies. That's a whole
Right.
point of her vision. They're hiring all kinds of people, like you said. You guys didn't hire any of those people. You relied on, oh, call us crazy volunteers. There were a
Right.
couple of elected representatives on there who said, are we giving any money to elected representatives? That wasn't in the budget. It was,
No.
and not only that, but there was apparently her whole thing is she wants to dial for dollars. And which isn't going very well. I mean, there was no accounting for like where this magical money was going to come from.
So the interesting thing is, when I came on board, I was in charge of the Grow Fund, asking the RNC about the Grow Fund and what that entailed. So they are really relying on the Grow Fund right now. So basically, they're going to get the RNC will give them about $50,000 right now to start up, right? But there are these goals, these fundraising goals that you have to meet. And if you don't meet them, you don't get any money from the RNC. That is what she's relying on. And I can guarantee you that is one of the hardest jobs. I mean, if it was easy to fundraise, we would all be billionaires. Right? Like
Right.
this would be easy. But so people asked her about that and she didn't go into detail because that is where they are truly holding on and hoping. That's why she's getting lists from the RNC to actually make these high donor phone calls. It's hard to ask for money. I mean, I'm a candidate now. So like
The thing, and look at the competition. So now you've got Heidi Gnall is doing her thing.
overing up. Any dollars she can get.
I mean, there's only so much money in Colorado that people
For
are willing.
Republicans, for Democrats is unlimited.
Exactly.
But for Republicans, she's hoovering up wherever she
Heidi
can
Ginnall's
for
taking
her
it off.
micromagistracy thing. I
You've
mean, maybe I'll turn over the party to Heidi. Maybe.
So you've got that. You've got various candidates. Like you said, it's not like there's this secret. I mean, and we know you guys worked hard. It's not like there's this secret, like, town of rich donors that no one's discovered yet.
No, I mean,
Are they suddenly be
Dave
willing?
was incredibly inventive
Right.
and tricky at times, and he did a miracle. I mean, he for miracles, and somebody came in to audit informally, go over the books, and the guy said, according to him, he said, "Well, wait a minute, these are not recurring funds." You go, "No kidding, Samson."
Well, and as using it, they don't. I mean, 50,000. I mean, that doesn't even begin to like touch what she owes her lawyers already for legal.
Right.
They kept calling it complex litigation. Well, it's complex litigation that she started, and now she's got to pay for it. And
Well, I don't know anybody. I love the phrase because you kind of go, I've never
she's
had so much
supposed
thing. This
to
is little. This is simple litigation. All litigation,
right. It's
complicated litigation,
no,
complex.
this you're not going into open heart surgery. Like this is easy stuff, right? Like either you owe the party money $100,000 or you don't. I mean, where did the money come from? She pretended to be the vice chair for 45 days. So I would like to know. And to boot, they are now renting out the peak Republican,
Office.
clubhouse, whatever you want to call it, Eli Bremer and Todd Watkins clubhouse, for the state headquarters. Holy, crud! I mean, what do you think is going on here? So.
It is. What's going on here is you're right. So she's funneling money to them, to the people who tried to destroy the Republican
500,
Party.
which is maybe the rent anyway.
It's like they've been doing fine. They clearly don't need the rent. She's going to hire all of her friends. She's going to pay all of these consultants. I mean, you guys didn't have any of that, and you did better in the election than they did under KBB with all of their money.
Are.
So,
Yep.
the prior people. It's like, I mean,
Well, in her budget, we kept asking, well, where's the audit? What's going on with this audit, this forensic audit? I mean, we've gotten quotes before, Tom actually got quotes starting at $100,000 to do a true forensic audit. So it finally came up like towards the end, and $16,000, and it's this tiered, whatever she wanted to call this. And so then she says, we're only focusing on the last 2 years. Are you kidding me? The $100,000 or some the whatever the money was where Tom found it and
Right.
filed it with the FEC was well before us. Are you not are you're are you, you yeah, the
Well, my guess is
incompetency.
but you have to understand, and this is the key to it. Forensic audit means one thing to a certified CPA. It doesn't have to be that. It can be Joe the plumber.
Right,
Say, I'll
right.
do a forensic
Trivia.
audit,
Yeah.
and he'll kind of go, I think.
Her accountant. She's already hired her lawyer, so she'll just have her
There won't be an
accountant.
accountant. No accountant will touch it. No
Well,
accountant will put his name on it, but Joe the plumber will, and say, "Well, I think everybody ought to give money back." And you go, "Okay, Joe the plumber, let's get that $600 an hour Clenda to do some complex litigation for us."
it is, and so we've got another guest coming out at 3:30. So I just want to one more time before we let you go, give you an opportunity because we'll have you on bazillions of times before this. And thank you.
That's a technical term these
Yeah,
days.
it's a technical podcast term. But one more time, I mean, where can people go and what do you need? Money, I know, but and your quest to throw out Rhino Jeff Herd.
Okay, you guys, I am speaking to we the people. I am Hope Shepelman, and I am running for Congress. I need as much volunteerism that I can get for the 27 districts or is 27 counties for this district. I need people to donate $1, $5, $10, whatever you guys can contribute. The big thing is get out the information. My website is Hope, HOPE, 4FOR, Colorado.com. Go to hopeforcolorado.com, donate, volunteer, sign up for the email blast, and hey, let's turn CD3 truly conservative, we need our voices heard up at the federal level.
All right. And just so you know, some of the comments, people are saying you are more impressive every time they hear you. You've got a couple of people saying, okay, they'll donate. And we will donate too. Hope, thank you so much. And thank you once again for all the work that you do.
Love you guys so
All right.
much.
All right. Thank
Okay,
you.
bye
Bye.
bye.
Hope Shuffleman there. And we'll be talking more as we go along about this, what's going on with the Republican Party. Hey, and Doug, oh, we got Carrie. We're gonna scooch right to Carrie.
Scooch. We're
Switch.
scooching now.
That's another podcast term.
The
We're gonna
podcast scooch.
switch gears here, kind of turn to some national stuff. We've had him on before, and he's great. Carrie Lotz with Financial Survival Network. And Carrie, hey, welcome back to the show. We appreciate your time as always.
Hey, it's a pleasure to be scooched
And there you go. I
in.
don't know. Maybe I'll probably be sued for that.
It's a trademark term.
Hey, so you have a great column up saying that the riots that we're seeing now were predictable, but Trump 2.0, or as you call it, Trump GPT, is ready for it. What do you mean by Trump GPT?
Well, to me, like I've been using AI for the past 3 years. And the more you get into it, the more you see patterns and you see how much it's permeated into our whole societal fabric, every aspect, government, business, law, and driving your car. And what I saw from Trump coming into office, all those executive orders, no sooner had he taken his hand off the Bible, he was signing executive orders. And each one of those executive orders is a ton of legal work. I mean, it's memos, it's briefs, it's anticipating the lawsuit that's coming, getting ready for that. And yet, he was able to draft hundreds of these in near total secrecy. There were no leaks. And ordinarily, in the real world, that would have taken dozens of attorneys months of work, perhaps years, probably years of work. And when you have that many people involved in something, something is going to leak out. And yet, there was never any indication of it. The best indication we had was Project 2025, which I think was really a diversion from what Trump actually wound up doing. And the more I looked at it, I said, he's using AI, and I just decided to call their AI Trump GPT because it's schooled in all aspects of government. Everything Trump ever said or did, it's got that in there. It's got international trade, international law, economics. It's way more advanced than any off-the-shelf AI that you or I would tap into. So Trump
The problem with it, I
GPT
can tell
is
you from
alive and well.
the legal perspective is, there are a lot of small attorneys, a lot of small law firms, and even the large ones, oh, we got a day to do this. Let's just AI it. So the AI it, and the AI is, it'll cite cases that don't exist. It'll do all kinds of things that if you just turn it into a court, you have a good chance of losing your license because the court will go, well, that case doesn't exist. And what the are you talking about?
Hopefully, Trump people, it appears they proofread their.
Well, somebody should have, but you got
Well,
like, I wonder if that's true. I don't know. The computer says so.
I'm a recovering attorney myself,
Okay.
and I asked ChatGPT about that, whether it was used in that one case. I don't remember if it was Michael Cohen's case or somebody else where they cited cases that didn't exist. And it swore up and down that it had nothing to do with it, that he didn't use
Well, they do. It's
it.
happening in Colorado courts all the time, where people just turn them in, and then the judge has his clerk check it, and they kind of, wait a minute.
But I think though what you're proposing is interesting because we were thinking, oh, okay, because you have a great point that Trump and those guys have just been working hard for the past couple of years,
Hard been working, yeah.
and you're saying no, they're working hard, but they're using technology, like you said, that the rest of us are just, or at least me, are sort of somewhat superficial. I use it for searching and
Yeah,
stuff like that.
how do I screw over
I
the
guess,
Trump brothers?
but that's.
Put
Yeah,
them.
exactly. But that's
They're a good
brilliant if
martini
you.
recipe.
Yeah.
Well,
Yeah.
and how do you read that into, like you said, I mean, anyone could have predicted the LA riots, because I guess it's summertime and it's time for the Democrats
Yes.
to
Well,
riot.
California dreaming time.
That's right. But
Yeah,
You think that they may be kind of, they were anticipating this and anticipating
Oh, yeah.
responses as well. Talk about that a little bit.
Yeah, well, actually, anybody could have anticipated, but I actually wrote a story about it on May, an article on May 26th, saying that the George Floyd riots 2.0 were coming. I expected them to be precipitated or catalyzed by somebody getting gravely injured or killed during an ICE raid, but
Yeah.
the party in its finite wisdom, the Democratic Party, decided to just unleash it right away. And it's clear it was going to happen. Minneapolis, the whole George Floyd riots, there was some obviously some underlying rage, but those were scripted. I mean, how did
Sure.
those pallets of bricks get delivered to exactly where the riots were taking place? All of these things. So it was predictable. It's been game planned out. And, that's why there's the layered response in LA, because obviously Trump could have just sent in 10,000 National Guardsmen and stopped it right away. But the optics would have been bad. Fascist, overbearing, authoritarianism. Here, first you send in 2,000 guardsmen, then you send in 700 Marines. You keep layering the response on, and then finally, the optics look so bad for Bass and Newsom that they actually had to do something about it. And
The Trump had it a little tricky about getting the Mexican flags to the people. And then, have all those. And
well, now they're
that,
handing out American flags. That did work.
oh, that's been real. Well, it's because
I
Trump
feel
sent him the
better.
Mexican flag for the photo ops.
Well, and the Trump people are brilliant. I mean, I think because you're right. Not only the layering, he handled it perfectly. And every day the Democrats look worse, right? And so now when they're planning this stuff on the 14th, and we got people protesting in Colorado, they just all look bad. I mean, you look at least the polls, and you just in talking to people, nobody has sympathy for what they're doing right now, right? You aren't seeing people, Black Lives Matter signs popping up all over the place. I think clearly the nation has pivoted too, and what they're willing to put up with.
Hey, for sure. And basically, even legal immigrants who weren't real Trump supporters, now they're coming around
Yeah, that's
because they
right.
look bad. And really, you get the like George Floyd and Rodney King, those people were into it. They might have looted and stolen whatever, but there was real passion. There's not passion in these riots. It's got a whole different vibe. It feels manufactured. It feels like it's been just a creation of the media and the Democratic Party. Let's face it, the Democratic Party, this is their playbook. When we don't like what's going on, let's have some riots and let's burn some stores down and maybe kill some people, and then the country will come around to our way of thinking. That playbook is failing this time. And that, I believe, is a function of Trump's layered response and the fact that this is unpopular. Scott Jennings calls it an 80-20 issue, and they wind up on the 20 side, and the real world's on the 80 side. And I think people are fed up with it. Plus, the lying of the legacy media. Mostly peaceful rioters as they're burning places down, lying, the politicians, oh, there's no problem here, nothing to see, move along. But everybody
Well, it's
knows.
also, as I pointed out in another show, there are various groups that are better at things. African Americans are better at the 100-yard dash, in basketball, and whites swim better, a little more fat content and so forth. So for a riot, Mexicans aren't the best group. There's no established thing of Mexicans being great at rioting. So they need to kind of go back into the black community who's turned against them and say, hey, look, we got a lot of Soros money. You guys lead the way because you guys know how to riot. Our Mexican friends just are not the best. I mean, they just don't really know how to get the real zap into it.
I totally agree with you there. They need some serious training. And
Yeah,
the left is
well,
so good at it.
and they need a new chance. Yeah, I mean, I've covered on the right, so it's the same old chance. Well, and it is interesting going back to what you were saying about the media. You had that anchor in LA, and we played the soundbite on a previous show where he said these were just people having fun watching cars burn. It's like, wait,
It's the
what?
American, it's a holiday experience. We're coming to the 4th of July. Everybody loves to watch a good electric car go up in flames. And
And as I said, this is an experienced anchor, right? In a major market. This
well,
wasn't some.
it took them a while to come up with that one.
It's and I think you're right. People now, so what's happened is, you know, we always suspected these things were funded, but now we know how to find the websites where they're hiring people. Now you know to look for like all the video of that guy unloading all the masks and the protection and things like that for the rioters and the
Yeah.
piles of bricks and things like that. People are seeing that now. And before they were like, no, that you're lying, you're lying. Now no one believes the legacy media, and instead they're seeing all this other stuff. And even then, Trump is flat out saying, no, they're paid insurrectionists. And you're right, there's no passion, there's no principle that they're rioting for. They're just rioting to riot.
Yeah, how much more time are we on the clock here? An hour? Okay.
Yeah.
Throw that
Oh,
rocket
they
up in
get
the air. Hey,
IRA
well,
contributions.
I say the only thing organic about these riots is the food they've looted from the Whole Foods store.
There you go.
Exactly. Well, how do you see it go? I mean, I think you
Well, I
want
mean,
your
they've
when
had a
do you
rollout. They've had to have a rollout plan for months and months and months. And
Oh, yeah.
LA was starting to leave it off, but I'm not sure it's kind of getting its traction. It needs to kind of
Well, because they're
flame
arresting
across the
people.
country.
Trump is ar they're arresting people. That's always sort of a deterrent.
Yeah, mass arrests. Look, I agree with what you're saying. I don't know how it's going to wind up. I believe that they've gameplayed it a number of different ways, but San Francisco is not having riots. They arrested more people in San Francisco than they did in LA. And what happened there? They recalled
Yeah.
DA Charles Boudin, who is a weather ground, a baby of weather ground
Yeah.
underground parents, and they didn't reelect London Breed. And they asked the mayor there, "Well, what do you think of Trump?" He says, "I don't care. Want to talk about that? I'm keeping order in the city, and
Yeah.
you haven't had these Mets." So that shows that when people put their foot down, it shows how much power the electorate has when their will isn't subverted and they can actually vote the people in who are going to solve the problems. And there's a lesson there. Even in Detroit during the Rod during the George Floyd riots, they didn't burn Detroit down because the police chief said, "You're not doing it in my city." And it just shows that, you know, just like George Floyd, these riots were manufactured,
Right.
but they didn't wait for that event. If some like 3-year-old kid got killed in an ICE raid and they could hold the baby up, they would do it, and they
Yeah,
might have
yeah.
had more support, but they jumped the shark.
Yeah,
Yeah,
you're
oh,
absolutely
but
right.
you're
Well, and I think because Trump also, maybe going back to ChatGPT, right? What would cause their Trump GPT? Trump also knows that they're sitting out there waiting for that. So I'm sure, you know, and the ICE agents know this too. I think everybody's being careful. And I don't know, do you think, are the Democrats even, is it too late for them to change their playbook? I mean, if I were them, I'd just be like, okay, never mind, everyone go home. This isn't working. Or do you see, I mean, you'd think, so, I mean, you
keep
see,
on trying.
yeah, keep on trying and see if suddenly people.
I think you're seeing a fracture in the party. Like John Fetterman, he's kind of the spearhead of it.
Yeah.
There are actually some Democrats that don't approve of this and don't want to see cities get burned down. You know, the net result could be after all these raids really take place and they really do get rid of most of the criminals. I mean, Colorado, Denver. How much is the murder rate down in Denver now? 60%. Gee, how did that happen? Not
Yeah.
because your mayor like actually empowered the police to prevent crime, right?
Right.
Must have something to do with getting rid of those gang members, you think?
Yeah. Oh, exactly. Well, and in Denver, they're silly enough too. The city of Denver, the mayor is announcing they don't have enough money. They have to furlough employees and cut services and things like that. But they're not cutting any services to illegal immigrants or
Well,
homeless. And it's
because who else is there? The schmucks who live in the houses and the condominiums, but you know, we don't.
I
That
don't
pay
know if
taxes.
I don't know if Denver voters will ever do that. Well, that's pretty cool. I mean, what else? I mean, with the Trump GPT, just sort of a couple more questions for you. Do you see him using this sort of tactic in other areas too, like with China, Ukraine?
Yes. Yeah, God, it sounds like you're reading my Substack, and I wrote a book on this too, by the way,
Okay.
because I learned it from the my mentor is a guy named Martin Armstrong, who's been making predictions decades ahead of before they happen. And I wrote a book called The World According to Martin Armstrong, which is available at Amazon and wherever fine books used to be sold. And
The bookstore is
it's
being burned
called
down
pattern
right now.
recognition. And
Yeah.
you're picking up on it there because it's pattern recognition. You see it in one area, it's happening in trade. Look, the biggest grift in the world was being a diplomat. They are the only people who are less productive than tenured Harvard professors. And they're the ones who negotiate our trade agreements. So, like, no wonder it used to take 10 years to, or decades to do a trade agreement because there were five-star resorts to visit. There were
Yeah.
Michelin star restaurants, and the Bordeaux, would flow. And it's a grift. So now with AI, you like train it in international relations, in international trade, logistics, and enforcement mechanisms. You feed in the agreement that you have. You say, how are we being screwed here? It
Yeah.
spits out all the things. And then you say, well, write me an agreement that's going to actually do something. And obviously, you can't just let AI run on its own.
Right.
You do need human intervention, A, to tell it what you want, and B, to tell it what it did that you didn't like so it can fix that. But, this is the way trade agreements are getting made, which is why the agreement between the US and the UK, England, happened so quickly.
Yeah, that's
There was
right. They
no
hit
other
the button
way.
and boom.
Yeah. Well, okay, that's pretty fascinating. One more time then before I let you go, because I want to give you the opportunity too to talk about your book briefly and where again people can get it.
Sure. So it's called The World According to Martin Armstrong, Conversations with the Master Forecaster. It's available on Amazon, Barnes and Noble, and all those places. And I'll just tell you one call he made. In 2018, the Dow Jones Industrial Average was around 22 or 26,000. Don't quote me on it. And he told me, Carrie, by between 20, the end of 22 and 24, the Dow Jones will hit 45,000. December 2024, I think it was the 14th. Guess what? It hit 45,000.
We
No
invested.
other forecaster on the planet was even mentioning that, and he nailed it 6 years ahead.
Did you invest? Did you adequately invest in
Yeah, we
that?
need to see what else. Yeah.
I wish. I wish. He's not a big Bitcoin enthusiast, but I have another friend who told me to buy it at five, who's never sold any, and he just opened a family office. That's how much money he made off of it.
All right, well, Carrie, thank you for your time and your insights
Okay.
today. It's been great. Thank you.
Hey, always here for you guys. You do great work, and we'll talk to you soon.
Okay, thank
Okay,
you very
take
much there.
care.
Carrie Lutz there with the Financial Survival Network. Yeah, that is, he raises, I think, a fascinating point. It does make sense if you're Trump, right? Rather than, and it would have leaked if he had, offices and offices of lawyers and people kind of doing this. It's like, why not just sort of say, like you said, how is China screwing us and how do we fix that? And rather than a better use than just sort of searching,
Right.
the way we do it. All right, well, that is going to kind of wrap it up for us today. We will be keeping more of an eye on this sort of unfolding train wreck of
Party.
the Colorado Republican Party.
Under the new establishment, let's all unify and
Right. And I'm going to still stick to my kind of theory that the train wreck is in itself not a flaw, but a feature, right? That there are people, as Hope said, pulling brittle horns strings who want to essentially make the party and not just
disappear.
yeah the party disappear, become so useless and that it's just sort of a figurehead position, and the chair can go around and go to party or Lincoln Day dinners and things like that,
On its own dime.
but they just want, yeah, exactly, they just want the donors to control the party. That's what I think is going on behind the scenes, and that's something to keep an eye on. So thank you to Carrie, thank you to Hope, Mark Hampton, the Honey Badger candidate,
Yay for Mark.
and we will see everybody later. Have a
Take
great
care,
one.
everybody.